All right, everybody, welcome back to Total Disruption. Dr. Clendenning, how are you today?
Awesome, man. How's the Michael Liberci today?
Hi, man. I'm taking my steps two at a time. Charged up. We're back on disruption, talking communication, talking life, talking language. Let's get right into it. I want to go stage presence. I want to speak to our young athletes out there. I want to talk to our people that have the spotlight. I want to talk to our introverts. I want to roll into this. I want to get right in. I want to get a little bit tactical with some people. I have, to be super street in real world, I run into probably six or seven examples in the last 2 weeks where people need to and should, nobody needs to do anything, but in order to grow and push, A few folks need to change their ways, not change, but evolve their ways to get a different result. And I'm speaking to them. I'm speaking to their multiples out there. I'm speaking to anybody that falls within that sphere of the introvert, of the person who has some limelight, the person who's got to do a mini presentation, the athlete. I'm talking to somebody out there, and I'm using Jake as a conduit to speak to everybody. So you're getting ready to do a bunch of things, right? You've already done them, depending on the time of this recording. We've got, people can go on the internet, see you on Leadership Week with the LA Tribune, and go on and see you speak at a couple different events. You've got some podcast things. I've got some things coming up or that I've already done. You and I have a clinic that we put on our website. If people want more information and get to see us more, we can get to see what we're talking about in real time. We talk the talk, we walk the walk, we do the things. So let's talk to those introverts, Jake. Let's talk to them. Let's talk about color. Let's warm people up. Let's talk to that person that doesn't normally get stage time, but they're on a mini stage. They're doing a presentation for a company. They're doing something.
You're always on stage. When it comes right down to it, I'm going to tell you one of the best pieces of advice and some of the worst pieces of advice, the dumbest, lazy coaching advices that I've ever gotten with regards to this piece, right?
Yeah.
One of the best pieces of advice that I got, and it's actually from, I actually got it from one of our guests that should be airing here in the next couple of weeks, Lucas Sheradin. I was at a conference in Las Vegas, and he was speaking on a stage at Mandalay Bay. And I'd met Lucas before this, but he had big room, lots of people in it. And I was sitting up front because that's one of my rules when I go to those things is front row. And he had said something during this particular speech. It was a speech on leadership overall that resonated with me very, very well. And he said, everything you do, everywhere you go, all the time is a job interview. Somebody is always watching you no matter what you're doing. What that means to me is how I show up anytime is how I show up all the time. Plain and simple, because somebody's always watching. So when Mike's talking about we're not always on a stage, I'll argue that. And I'll say, yeah, we are. If I'm doing anything and there's a chance, if I'm in any room, anywhere, and somebody's watching me, I am demonstrating who I am in that space all the time, right? That's just how I show up. There's an opportunity everywhere. Somebody is watching. And I found that to be true. Now, I'll tell you some really shitty advice that I've gotten over the years that I absolutely hate. Lazy coaching when it comes right down to it. You ask a question, let's talk to the introverts, I'm not confident in that room. And some idiot coach will say, well, just, work on being more confident. That is the laziest coaching there is. Work on, okay. Sure. Let me pull that pin, and now I'm somebody different, right? I don't care if you're an introvert or extrovert. That is lousy advice. Just get more confidence. Sure. Let me go to the store and ring that up at Walmart. Come on.
I wish I could get away with that kind of advice.
Yeah, wish we could get away with that stuff, but it's terrible advice. So it's not about just go get some more. Now here's a movie quote that I wanna lay on you that I appreciate in this particular one. So there's a movie called Evan Almighty that I reference this a few times. Morgan Freeman plays God in this one. And it's super good. There's a scene, you can watch it on YouTube. It's called the fish and chips scene is how they label it on YouTube. And it's really cool. And at this time, basically Evan's wife has left Evan and she's, you know, just kind of separated for a while, took the kids, and she's sitting here like just pounding fish and chips. That's her soul food kind of thing. And Morgan Freeman shows up as God. And she proceeds to have this conversation with him as a waiter. She doesn't know that's who he is. He's just like a waiter. And he makes a statement. He says, do you think when somebody prays for more confidence, God just goes shebang and you have more confidence? No, he gives you opportunities to be confident. And it goes on and goes on. And it's such an impactful scene. And of course, Morgan Freeman rolls it out with incredible skill to be able to do that. But it's true. It's not about you just get more confidence. It is you have more opportunity to be confident. And how do we create confidence? Practice. Period. End of story. Mic drop. Episode over. Practice. You have to practice. That's plain and simple. I mean, how much we go back to this again? Mike's kids are. They practice more than I practice at anything I ever did in athletics, plain and simple. They practice all the time. That's what gives them confidence in sports, and they have to do the things. You've got to, you know, what have we heard? It's 10,000 times or 10,000 hours is the path to mastery. It doesn't say 10,000 hours makes you a master. It says that's part of the path to mastery.
I'm gonna plus one that. Practice and feedback. In other 100%. Words, you can practice, but if you're that, Eddie Vedder says it, if you're that artist in their bedroom just practicing your scales, no one's ever gonna tell you you suck because no one will ever hear you. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example. You brought up my kids. This is a great example about practice and assumptions. And being like completely way off. So my youngest was three tournaments in this season, and they were playing in an up level tournament in baseball. And come Sunday, the coach puts out a thing that says, "Hey, I can't guarantee playing time for everybody, and we're going with the best guys." So I'm thinking to myself, okay. And I'm used to my son being in that category just because he was in that category through his own performance. It has nothing to do with me. Well, he wasn't in that category. So I was scratching my head and I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking at the field of play and I'm wondering, all right, why is he not in that category? What's going on here? There's a complete disconnect. We're practicing, we're doing our reps, we're doing everything else. So I waited my 3 days and I called coach and I said, hey, well, we needed to catch up on a bunch of things because he and I are friends, but I wanted to get some coaching from him on my son's deficiencies. Hey man, you know, what's going on here? What are you not seeing in my son? He gave me a dissertation, eloquent, friendly. Immediately I went out and my son and I worked on some of these deficiencies and I gave him some of the cues. 3 days later, remember, my son's been practicing a lot. He's been playing for a few years. 3 days later, I don't know, between the coach's conversation, my conversation with him, the implementation of effort, and that's what really the coach was looking for, is implementation of effort. And he implemented the effort, and then I got feedback this week saying, hey, wow, I really saw a big change in your son. And, you know, that's great. So I, in my head, I'm like, that's what I wanted to see was, I don't care if he's actually in that selection process. I just needed the information as to why. Because even if he's doing his best may not be as good as somebody else. But I didn't know without the feedback where his deficiencies were. Mm-hmm. I needed that coach's perspective.
So Mike just told you a story that demonstrates our model beautifully. Okay. And it really, really does. And that was not intentional. That's a legitimate story of how he followed up and did this thing.
That story's 3 days old.
Yeah, 3 days old. And he did it beautifully. Right. And it functioned as it should. Right. We got a aligned result in the end is what we were going for. So the first thing we talk about feedback is not fatal. It comes right down to it. Feedback is love. Feedback, not criticism. Feedback is love. It really is. Feedback is not fatal. So during this thing, right, Mike, and we talk about this, some people are just like, oh God, I get bad news and the world has come to an end. No, feedback is not fatal. You got to take the feedback and use it. So during the game, Mike did not see a result he was expecting. He had a decision to make in that moment of what state he was going to be. He could have been a fired up, red, activated parent, gone to the coach during the game. I want my kid to play. And we would have gotten nowhere. That conversation would have absolutely crashed and burned. Inappropriate time, inappropriate state. We were not prepared. We were not practiced for it. Mike made a decision. I'm going to wait. Waited 3 days, and you heard him say it. He went to the coach with questions. Help me understand. What am I not seeing? And he got a good list. Hey, great. Thanks for asking the question. Mike showed up blue. He showed up in alignment, and he showed up curious, at which point the coach probably appreciated the fact that Mike did not, you know, go and tackle him during a game and said, hey, he's actually looking to grow his kid. This is what they're doing. Let me give you some feedback on that. Coach gave him some feedback. We were then able to apply, say we, Mike was able to apply the feedback to get a result, right? To improve the performance. This is exactly a great example of how to follow the model. You know, and for, you know, for me, my life design says I can't make decisions or have a retro conversation or whatever it is. I have to sleep on it. That's literally my life design. If a proposition comes to me, I have to have one sleep on it, and then I can deal with it the next day. Mike took 3 days, whether that was the intent or that was to take these. I have a thing in my head. I'm going to choose to get to a spot and get to a place of alignment where I can show up in curiosity. And we got a great result. Right now we have a forward path. So that's exactly what this is. He took time to prepare, took time to diffuse the bomb that it, you know, could have been from that moment. And this is such a great example and demonstration of when we show up in alignment and we show up in curiosity to create value, what the result comes from. And that was nothing about, you know, well, Mike, you need to be more confident in that conversation 3 days from now. No, that's garbage advice. That was simply he needed to be in an aligned state to have a valid conversation with this other individual to get to a place that we're both in agreement. This is for the betterment of the individual that we're trying to work with. So, I mean, it's a great story, man.
Bro, let me plus one that. And this goes for everybody. I don't care who you are. I was making up scenarios in my head left and right about how that conversation was going to go. And I realized I was in no shape to have a conversation because, like, when you're talking to a friend, and the coach is a friend of mine, there was a couple things that I was doing. I was role-playing in my head about how it was going to go. I was role-playing about certain things I was going to say. And then I said, wait a minute. We're talking about youth sports here. Let me layer up a few. This guy's family's got a few things going on. My family had a few things going on. There's like a bigger world out there. Like, I'm going to be very relaxed here a little bit. And I wanted to get a deeper understanding about his perspective on the entire team so that I'm not sitting there every weekend worrying about my kid's experience and worrying about how to coach my, you know, I need to get all this clarity, and I got all the clarity. I got how he was thinking about the team. I got every piece. Now, I'm a veteran of this thing. You new parents out there, you don't have 8.5 years of this, right? So this is, you're seeing an 8-year pro of youth sports. And this is my youngest kid. My oldest is plays high school baseball. So, which is in and of itself, 8-year battle to get him there, right? It was not an easy journey, but when you're having these scenarios, right, whether you're going to go on stage or whether you're going to meet somebody or whether you're going into a boss meeting and you're making this shit up in your head, it's important to do a little bit of that, but you also have to boil it down a little bit and you have to get yourself into that blue state and say, wait a minute here. If I make up all these scenarios, I'm 110 miles down the road, right? Like, you know, Brooks and Dunn, Red Dirt Road, right? Like, I grew out the end of the asphalt and now I'm on that red dirt road. It's either going to be good, bad, or indifferent, right? Stay at the end of the asphalt before you head out on that red dirt road. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to have that positive result. You're not going to have a positive result if you're making up scenarios. And if you do make up some scenarios, how about you make up three different ones? Positive, negative, and super positive, right? Let's go three results on those scenarios. This way you can breathe a little bit. And you're not putting off that pre-energy when you're having that conversation. I can't, this guy's a godsend as a coach. I mean, really, he was clear and it put my mind at ease in terms of his whole landscape for the team. And remember, I have an end in mind. All my kids want to play high school baseball and maybe beyond. But we get to where we go and we get to where we go. And if I don't know the deficiencies and they don't know their own deficiencies based on a coaching perspective, they can't grow as players. I can't grow as a parent and I can't grow as a support system. And I don't have mature conversations like I did with that coach.
Yeah. So here's the other thing I would tell you about this internal role play thing. That's why we built the app. That's the point. And here's why internal role play can be a good idea. By and large, it doesn't work. At least 60% of the time, it doesn't work because the role play is a single state. It is the way you feel about a conversation. Your brain is going to assume this other person, the other voice in your head, is going to be in the same state. So if you're going into this conversation argumentative, the other person is going to be argumentative. They're in the exact same state you are. It's not a choice. That's just the way your brain functions. The app takes that away. The app takes that away. So you literally, there is a custom feature in there that says, hey, I need to have, there's a questionnaire you fill out. I got to have a conversation with my kid's coach about this. This is this who they are. This is their trigger points. You can build the avatar of who this coach is so that you can have the conversation with them so that it's not a, I'm going to make up the scenario so I win. It is literally more of a conversation. And this, the point of the role play is to keep you in blue, aligned, curious, showing up with that stage presence of tell me more, help me understand, and have a conversation to get you all the way to the end so you can put it away. It's the point of building this thing.
I'm channeling Bob Dylan, Tangled Up in Blue.
Tangled Up in Blue. Ooh, very nice. That's reaching back there.
I hope that's Bob Dylan. I hope I got that right.
I think it is. I think you're right, which just dated us both really badly.
Anybody can listen to Bob Dylan, man. Come on. There's Spotify out there, right? I mean.
Well, there's Spotify out there, but to know it, to just remember it and go, oh, I just queued that up in my head. That may... Yeah, anybody can listen to anything. We're pretty genre neutral here. Let's go that way. So
speaking of which, I heard something on the radio. I was listening to Stern talking to, I think his name was Jason Antonoff, something like that, yesterday on the 2 days ago on the Sirius XM, and they were talking philosophically about the 90s being the best sort of genre of the last time new music was kind of kicked out on a big scale, you know, anywhere from like rap to grunge to rock, like all these different genres kind of blew up in the 90s. And the 90s had all these, like you had Dre, Snoop, Green Day, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, all across the spectrum. What do you think? Do you think the 90s were the last great surge of, you know, the 70s were awesome, but like the 90s were the last great resurgence of new music? Because
I agreed with that. I heard that, and I absolutely agree with that. In I had to think about that a little bit of, you know, these surges of new music. We saw, like in the 2000s, we only saw one real new genre come up. We saw a lot of others get defined, but we saw progressive house really take the front stage at that point, which comes out of European punk rock and club scene stuff. But we really saw progressive house become a genre in early 2000s. But it wasn't that there was five or six genres that jumped up, you know, because there was right about the 90s, you had old school original Western country, And then you got new country took over and started moving forward. And then you had, like Mike said, you had grunge take over. You went from, you had club music that jumped up. You had rap that really took over. And it had been coming up since the early 80s, but it didn't jump in and become a genre. You've always had that kind of top 40. Hip hop evolved into a couple of different spaces in there. Metal took a couple divergent lines and went to a rock scene and went to a popular scene and cultural scene and went to a metal. And you developed grunge. You had Garbage and you had Hole and you had Korn. And I mean, I look at the 90s because that's when I was the biggest fan of all the music in the 90s. There's so much great stuff coming out at that time. It's also where we put away the hair band days. Like we put them away in the 90s. But I agree with that. I have not come across like a new style, something this is like, wow, this is earth shattering. Something cool has come across. And I'm not saying I'm the end all cure all on music by any stretch, but I agree. I agree with that statement completely that was the last time, not that we won't see it again, that we had such a divergence of so many genres to define so many subsections of society. People were able to grab on to music and say, this is who I am. And you saw those styles take off. It was 90s was a great time to be alive, man. If you weren't alive in the 90s, sorry, man, that's a bummer for you. Like, go back and listen to the music. It's great stuff.
With Lithium on SiriusXM, not that we're sponsored by SiriusXM or anything, but with Lithium, you feel like you're listening to a 90s rock channel, like in real time. In other words, you're in a time machine. You put on the radio, you put on Lithium, and it's like, wow, all those concurrent songs. You ever see that thing on the internet where they do the tape stack? And it was like Pearl Jam 10, Soundgarden, and all these things. And they all came out within like Metallica Black, all came out in the same like 4 months. It's like, what an impact in music. And you play music, so I like your perspective on it.
Yeah, it was a great spot. And it's all of my music channels. Like we were talking, Stacey and I were talking about this the other day, my wife and I, as far as like what it looks like. And I haven't found like really new stuff that I've added to the channel and been like, oh, that's amazing. That's epic. Lindsey Sterling would be probably one of the newest ones that I found. And she's this amazing violinist that does just some epic stuff. If you haven't listened to Lindsey Sterling. But there's been some like really good folk rock stuff that's come out in the last few years, Tyler Childress and Whiskey Myers and a few of those that I'm enjoying, but they're not a new genre. But it's not a matter that I found a brand new artist that is doing something epic. You know, when you listen, you get in the truck with me, and you're right and you're rolling with me, it's Time Capsule stuff. Like all my favorite music came out of that, honestly, 1985 to 2005, by and large, that 20-year gap right there is what is playing in my truck all the time.
Yeah, I'm all over the spectrum, man. Anywhere from classical music all the way up. I'm a music freak. But lately it's been the punk rock variations where it's lighter punk rock, like even like not quite Social Distortion. There's this band I'm digging called the Jackknives. Check it out. They've got some cool sounds. Gaslight Anthem, they're a pretty cool band. Those kinds of genres where it's not super heavy. Sometimes it's a little too sing-songy, but it's a pretty good deal. And I appreciate that because back to our talking about the way to communicate and reinventing yourself and growth, sticking to who you are and what you're doing, sticking to who your audience is, who you're trying to impress, having some role play, rehearsing, having a stage presence, remembering all these things, right? When you're creating content and you're doing things and you're speaking, sometimes you want to create emotions in audiences, right? Sometimes it's, you know, the more calm you are internally, the more you can impact externally. Like there's nothing wrong with creating a little controversy and wrapping it up. There's nothing wrong with disrupting. There's nothing wrong with setting somebody into the red a little bit, getting them uncomfortable, getting them thinking a little bit, and then bringing them back. There's nothing wrong with that. Because ultimately, we're always responsible for how we interpret what we hear. And those people that get triggered and influenced easily, I question you to say, stay in the blue. Stay in the receptive nature with respect. Like, you put on the news these days, man. You know,
God, don't do that.
You got CNN on one aspect, Fox on the other end of the aspect. And they could be talking about the same situation. And it's like, oh, and I'm not saying one versus the other, but end of the world on one of those, the greatest thing in the other, and vice versa. That wasn't supposed to be in order, and that wasn't supposed to be a dig on CNN or Fox. But it's like we're talking about the same thing, right? And you have this sensationalism, and you have the, hey, what ifs, and the, hey, the conspiracy theories, and you have the cover-ups, and all. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. What do you think?
I think we're out of time, man. I think we're there, but yeah, we're right there. I will give you in a half a second, in the last, you know, 5 seconds of the show, you can use music as a tool to help you get into alignment. Like, if you've got to go into an important business conversation that you need to be curious about, Slayer and Megadeth is probably not the right thing to be listening to ahead of time. No. You know, that's an all about, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, you know, play this game. It's going to be amazing and I'm going to win. This is one of those, listen to something that gets you in the right state to be able to enter a conversation in the right way.
Amen to that. All right, everybody. Well, my name is Mike Liberti for Dr. Jake Clendenning. You were just live on Total Disruption.